Okay, welcome back for episodes 142, right?
Yes, sir, 142.
142. Well, tonight we agreed to talk about, well, medical martial law, and of course this dreaded coronavirus, the COVID-19, or COVID-19 they call it. I guess they're 18 before it. But anyway, the coronavirus and medical martial law, of course over the last month, the world has watched as this coronavirus out of Wuhan, China, is relentlessly spread across the globe, allegedly. At least that's what's being reported. Heads of states have been compelled to declare states of emergency, imposing all types of quarantines, major event cancellations, travel restrictions, trade restrictions that could bring the global economy to a halt. That could be part of the agenda here, perhaps. This event also coincides with growing criticism of mandated vaccines. That could be a part of it as well, because obviously the solution to this crisis could be a new vaccine, a Manhattan Project to get out this vaccine to save humanity from the dreaded coronavirus. It's difficult covering these health issues, these epidemics, because in many ways these health problems are an enigma. I mean, we have a history of extraordinary, we have a history of, falsehoods regarding these things. We can't trust the institutions we're told to look to, like the CDC or the World Health Organization, our government. One thing we do have in the modern world, one thing you have to consider, is much of the modern world has subjected humanity to biological and chemical warfare in the broad sense, poisoning of the environment. And we have to look at this. This could be the source of a lot of disease that has been blamed on viruses. John Rappaport talks about this. He says the virus is the cover story often. We saw that with Zika and some of the other pandemics that fizzled in the past few years. And you have to look at the profiteering of the pharmaceutical companies and their connection to the banking industry and also ultimately the global elite. As John Rappaport said, I've been saying this for 30 years. The most important long-term cartel of globalism is medical. It flies no partisan banners. It proclaims its political neutrality. It expresses no interest beyond healing. It thus exemplifies a fabulous cover story for its covert operation. It employs armies of true believers who will tell you they are scientists. The problem is they've undergone massive mind control. It's called medical school. Joe, that's what, it's coronavirus. We're told it's a pandemic now. And we're supposed to, I guess, isolate ourselves, wash our hands a lot, and don't go out and panic buy. Don't panic buy. Of course, everyone goes out and panic buys when they hear that. And apparently they're being, and if it's not occurring, the media will show empty shelves just to get people out the door to get them to start buying these stories. I was reading a comment, a guy in Seattle who said the hospitals were overflowing with people, and he says that he works there. That isn't the case. So we're getting, we're getting false reports about overcrowded hospitals. And of course, in the age of media fakery, this is a good possibility. I think it was in October, the Event 201 thing with Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, about a novel coronavirus, bringing out this very scenario. And if you watch that on YouTube, is they have sort of fake news reports, and it's almost carried like it's reality. The question is something more sophisticated now being carried out? And we can get into how that can, the practicality of such a thing and the likelihood of such a thing. So, Joe, what do you have to say about this pandemic?
Well, it was a brutal week here in Santa Barbara. We don't have a single case of the coronavirus, but a kind of panic set in. There was panic buying. I mentioned before the show started, I went to Costco, not to panic buy so much, but because I ran out of blueberries, and I like the organic blueberries at Costco. So I went there. I had was just kind of thoughtless because I was on the way back from something else, and it's right off the freeway. So I pulled in, and the parking lot told the story. It was just chaos, And I said, well, forget the blueberries. But then I had the thought, I should probably go in there. This is a real actual sociologic phenomena, and I kind of want to see it. So I went in, and there was actual panic. I'd never seen it before in an American store. I mean, I'd seen all the movies, you know, the movies of nuclear war, zombie apocalypse, all of the horror porn that Hollywood forces on us. You know, they always have the empty shelves. I mean, this is just classic, you know, and the desperation. But I'd never actually seen Americans behave like that. And yet there it was. And so there was they had a bunch of pallets that had been put on the floor where the toilet paper was a few hours ago. And it was all gone. The toilet paper was gone. And some lucky guys were still wandering the aisles collecting things for their carts. And you could see they had the case of toilet paper in their carts. You know, they were the lucky ones.
And did you try to grab it and fight a guy for some?
No, but here, this is the funny part. So I'm sitting there staring at the void of the pallets that were empty. And this guy came up to me. He looked like he was an alcoholic. And he goes, hey. I go, hey. He goes, you need toilet paper. I go, yeah. And he goes, I got some out in the car. I go, how much? He goes, $25. I go, well, maybe next week. But this is a
good old American entrepreneurship.
Yeah, this is glad to see someone is actually responding in the correct way to the virus.
Did you say single ply or two ply?
Yeah. I wish I had the wit to like interview him on the iPhone. I don't have an iPhone. If I had one, I would have recorded it so I could bring it here and play it for us, because it was absurdity squared, if you know what I mean. And but anyway, it was particularly laughable to me because in the morning I had I knew we were going to talk about this, and I've been doing research into the Wuhan coronavirus, and I came across this amazing data point that I want to share with everyone. They have actually sequenced the genome, the CO, whatever it is, VO19, the 19th one, the one that is like causing all the trouble. And as I mentioned before the show, I said, you know, it's very unusual, the sequencing. You know, you have the GATA, all the A's and the G's and the T's, you know, all this long sequence, you know, in the DNA. But the ending of it is extraordinary. It is 33 A's, 33. You see, this is very much unusual. In fact, I'm betting, maybe it's over my pay grade to know this, but just based on, it was actually on a website, and there was a bunch of biologists who were astonished at the 33 A's. They're going, what the heck is this? That's too many nucleides. It doesn't make any sense. So because of their response, I'm very confident that this is just a little Freemason humor, so that we actually know that the virus is more of an element from a Homer Simpson cartoon than something that is really real. And going back to Homer Simpson, you know, which has an amazing ability to foresee, that cartoon show, that cesspool cartoon show, has this amazing ability to foresee the future. You know, I mean, actually had a guy talking about Donald Trump's presidency, right? Well, I don't know. I was watching one of the cartoons on the pandemic, and they were it started on a cruise ship, and I think the cruise ship was actually named Princess. I mean, just for absurdity. But Homer is like he gets somehow this rumor started. He has a fake video. And then he's sitting up there in the captain's lounge watching all the people panic on the cruise ship. And he goes, they're buying it. They're buying it. And he's got some kind of control panel. And he lifts up the lid, and there is the number 33. So again, this is, you know, this is absurd. And like Bill Gates, you know, in his talk on January 24th, he said, you know, the pandemic could spread and 33 million may die in the first 6 months. Isn't that amazing, Tim, that he could actually come up with a number like that way back in January, you know, 33 million. So I think these are just little code designations to the fact that we're dealing with a project. You know, it's like the foreseeing of 911 that went on, you know, that They're just, I think actually what's going on with that is they're communicating to the tribe that this is a, you know, a Masonic project, so that, so that people know who are, you know, they want people who are in the inside to know this is just something we're in control of. So the, you know, I think like Rappaport, who has just done a great job over the last couple of weeks, we talked about him a couple of weeks ago, how he, this would be a great moment for him because he's, this is his area. I mean, he's been hammering away on the point that there just isn't any science. You know, he's saying, where is the photographs of the virus? Where are all of the, you know, where is the blood work? Let's look for the reality. The data is so minuscule, like you were pointing out, that it's just, it's almost not even a hiccup in the world's pneumonia, you know, kind of fatality schedule. I know that in Korea, where I think they have the best data. The reason that I like South Korea's data is that they had the test kit for some reason. God knows how they got it, but they did. And they did like 200,000 people in a region. And from that, they were able to extrapolate what I think are pretty reasonable, you know, looks to me like the best data that is on the planet at the moment. And they were saying that, you know, that like a, less than 1% of the cases had fatalities. And of course, if you've ever been to South Korea, you know, people smoke like chimneys. So I'm betting that of the percentage of people that died, that like over half of them are like chain smokers that were just hanging on by their fingernails. Anyway, so in other words, what you're dealing with in this virus is something that seems to me, you know, I know way over my pay grade, but just based on what I can see, is not a real global destroyer of humanity, right? It's really more like a flu, a bad flu. You're probably going to have 1-1.5% fatality, and of that, you're, you know, the majority of them are going to be the elderly who, sad to say, are just waiting for, you know, some reason to die. So, like myself. So the thing is, so this is, you know, not some kind of reason to shut down civilization for, but the response has been not just draconian, but almost surrealistic. I mean, yes. Major League Baseball, you know, March Madness, all the public schools. You know, if you have like a, one single person who's tested to have the coronavirus, the whole city goes into a panic and it shut down.
It's It is so surreal,
my,
yeah.
Yeah, so my point is that when you look at the 33, you know, kind of imprimatur that's been stamped on this thing by the genome and by Gates and all, and it's only, go to these websites. There are some good websites now that are actually collecting all of this 33 stuff, because there's like hundreds of examples of like where they'll make, you know, a statement about, you know, the number of patients or new coronavirus victims, and it's 33. And it's 33 years ago today. And they just they're stamping it over and over again. And so people have caught on to that and are posting the data, which is great, because this is a way to alert the public of the reality of the thing, which is that this is an operation. Now remember 911, you know, we were told, you know, Arab boogeyman, you know, they're destroying everything. They flew their jet into the Pentagon. You know, they knocked down three buildings with two planes because they're so good at it. I mean, and then, of course, what did we get? Well, we got the main thing was we got the endless wars in the Middle East, but we also got the slave train that goes on at the airports.
Yes.
Right. So you go in now and you go in these aisles and they radiate you. Okay. So this is just slave training. You know, but it's absurd, because if somebody wanted to kill a bunch of Americans, he wouldn't have to do anything other than just throw a bomb into this mob that's sitting there trying to take their shoes off.
I'm sure that radiation isn't good for your immune system.
Right, of course, and you're getting radiated at the same time. Yeah. So it's absurdity, right? But it's slave training. This just bit by bit, we're getting used to being told what to do and to accept, you know, radiation and just obedience. And so this is this state. You know, you had the operation, you had the absurd explanation, but the war has never stopped, not to this day, and neither did the slave training at the airports. That just is now part of our consciousness. Everybody goes there and you get slave trained. All right, Now you have this operation. So what is the purpose of it? Well, I think the sequestering in the houses. We talked about the martial law. Mm-hmm. I mean, that hasn't been implemented, though they have already brought the National Guard into some communities.
Yeah,
I mean,
this, they're going to shoot the virus?
Yeah, they're going to catch it with nets. I mean, this is like slave training, right? We're mm-hmm. getting used to, you know, gee, we can't come out of our house unless they tell us it's okay. And the military's in the streets to make sure we don't come out of our houses. So this is frightening to me because, you know, once they get us in our houses, we can get starved. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the ways they can reduce our population. And of course, then at the end of all this, there will be the whiz-bang vaccine, which they will, if they're able to keep the hysteria up, right? I mean, who knows? I mean, Trump could get the coronavirus. You know,
they have celebrities coming out now, right?
Yeah, the celebrities will be dying, and then it'll just be, you know, this enormous death cult that will just be terrifying. It'll be like one of the zombie movies come to life. And so people will be clamoring for the vaccine, and now we're in real trouble because, you know, let's face it, you don't want your insides to be something that the people who pulled off 911, you know, have access to. And so what I'm afraid is that all of this response is going to basically, the virus is a distraction from the real operation, which is to shut the economy down. And to do the slave training with, you know, the sequestering in our houses. So we'll have no economy when this is done. I mean, Tim, it's just beyond belief the things that they're thinking about shutting down here in California. I mean, it's like the UCs, all of the public schools, you know, any kind of social event, Disneyland. Oh, my God. So there won't be an economy, right? I mean, there will be minuscule. And now you have sequestration and a broke economy. Now, at the end of that, I'm also concerned that notice that yesterday they came up with $1.5 trillion just out of thin air to like plug up the, you know, basically the debt market was freezing up. So here comes $1.5 trillion. Well, what if that becomes a daily event? What's that going to do to the strength of our currency or even the coherency of our currency, right? Once you start throwing around that word, that trillion, you know, you're at the end of the road. So I think you can, you know, what I'm afraid of, Tim, is that you get slave training into sequestration voluntary. We just accept that this is the new way to live. The virus never quite gets under control. It's like the Middle East wars. You never quite get the terrorist boogeyman to go away. The wars just have to go on and on forever. And the terrorist boogeyman defense system in the airports never goes away. The sequestration will never go away, and the economy does. The economy goes away, and now what do you have? You know, you've got millions of people with no capacity to feed themselves, no jobs, their whole capacity really to be anything other than, you know, slaves to the government is gone. So I think it's really a moment for heroism. I hope people will do the research to, you know, come up with the right response. But, you know, I think this is time to really use the alt media for everything it's worth, you know, and try to get people to understand that we're in the middle of a secret society, malevolent operation, and that when you permit yourself to be sequestered, when you permit your jobs to disappear, when you permit your way of life to be just thrown away, you aren't being patriotic. You're just being slave trained by the most evil collection of oligarchs that we've ever experienced on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at just the official numbers, you have, here we are, almost the middle part of March, and so far, there are reported almost 86,000 deaths from the normal flu globally. By year's end, the United States averages anywhere from 30 to 70,000 deaths a year from the flu. Globally, it's in the hundreds of thousands, if not close to a million. But the coronavirus right now claims they claim that there are 125,000 cases with 5,000 deaths. So why isn't it declared a pandemic when 86,000 people are dead as opposed to 5,000? And like I said, those 5,000 deaths can be easily explained by the normal deaths that occur from flu or flu-related symptoms. That's an interesting point. Often they blame any type of respiratory, disease or problems on the flu when the cause may not be viral or bacterial. It could be chemical or toxic poisons. I mean, the bad air in China is a good case. 300,000 people a year die of pneumonia in China. And I suspect, before they locked down the entire province of Hubei, which is, millions of people, they weren't giving accurate diagnosis of these people. It's just you got a cough, sorry. So, and what's disturbing is that the measures that the Chinese government reportedly carried out are being praised by many in the West as they're containing it. This is what we need to follow. And then you have in Italy where they try to lock down Italy. I don't quite see how that's possible, but these are the terms that are used. And you want to talk about propaganda? I'm just reading a news report about it, and the language in the words in the news story was talk about coronavirus as a relentless march across Europe. It's very dramatic. It's there to manipulate. It's relentless. It's like it's a sentient being, a creature, haunting Europe, going after Europe. And so these we're being played with. And you have to look at this, all throw those numbers out there. There's nothing that's outside the regular, well within the variable of deaths that occur every year with the cold and flu season that we get. So there's nothing, and nor are there any reported spikes in deaths. There's a few cases here and there, and the reported numbers is that 83% of those who have the coronavirus experience mild symptoms.
And
70% are
it's
severe or critical.
yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's one of these things. And they're saying, well, the ICU units are now being swamped. Well, that might be because before, when someone came in with a chest cold, they saw, they tended to him, let him go. Now they admit him because they think it, oh no, coronavirus. So all of a sudden you have ICU units being overloaded. Those reports can also be fake. There is a I mentioned the Event 201 that the Bill and Melinda Gates carried out, and it was a mock, a novel coronavirus outbreak, I think starting from pigs in South America. But this very scenario is playing out, and I said this very likely that what we're seeing in the media, which is all centrally controlled, this is being coordinated. And you don't have to get too far from the top. People are just simply following orders, especially when there's billions of dollars of federal money to be dispensed with. The cleaning of schools and concourses, airports. I suspect the cleaning products you're using are probably causing more illness than the coronavirus. But then you have to go, who are we listening to? What are the I kind of alluded to it, the CDC, the World Health Organization. Well, the World Health Organization is an agency of the United Nations. Okay, take from that what you want. If you want to give the United Nations any credit, fine, go ahead. But that's a Rockefeller creation, that's an oligarchic creation. But the World Health Organization was caught, red-handed a few years ago when many of their scientists were being paid by GlaxoSmithKline and Roche Pharmaceutical to declare a pandemic so they could sell billions of dollars worth of vaccines to European Union governments. They were caught doing that. They declared a fake pandemic. The CDC was caught a few years ago. This is the work of Cheryl Atkinson, a CBS News reporter. Jenna Rappaport talks about this a lot, that she exposed that they had stopped counting cases of the swine flu because they weren't getting any results in the tests they were getting from around the country. Then they doubled down and said there's 22 million cases in the United States without any evidence. It was a fake. A fake was not a true epidemic. They lied about it. But then, if you talk about the CDC, apparently, within the CDC, there is a group of conscientious objectors or scientists. They call them the Spider Group. This is an article by John Rappaport. Scientists preserving integrity, diligence, and ethics in research. They have penned a letter to the CDC's chief of staff, and where they write, "We are a group of scientists at the CDC that are very concerned about the current state of ethics at our agency. It appears that our mission is being influenced and shaped by outside parties and rogue interests. It seems that our mission and our congressional intent for our agency is being circumvented by some of our leaders, What concerns us most is that it is becoming the norm and not the rare exception. Some senior management officials at CDC are clearly aware and even condone these behaviors. Others see it and turn the other way. Some staff are intimidated and pressed to do things that are not right. Well, now, whether that letter is authentic or not, I think the evidence suggests that that very well could be occurring, because we had the scandal a few years ago when the William Thompson, the doctor at CDC, he was a whistleblower who admitted that in a study on the safety of MMR vaccines, he and his colleagues literally threw out sheets of data because it showed that the vaccine was could be linked to the increase in autism, particularly in black male children. You can see that. I think that's featured in the movie Vaxxed. But you know, the CDC, well, who is the CDC? And this is an article written by Ethan Huff for Natural News. CDC exposes a private corporation, including with Big Pharma. The illusory notion that the federal regulatory agency, known as the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, is somehow a public entity working on behalf of the people to protect us from disease is simply laughable. The CDC, by definition, is a private corporation working on behalf of its stakeholders, which include key players in the pharmaceutical and vaccine industries that profit from the spread of disease, not from real prevention and cures. The first and most obvious clue that the CDC isn't what it appears on the surface is the fact that this supposed government agency is listed on the official Dun & Bradstreet directory as for a for-profit corporation. Anyone tries to argue with the CDC that the CDC is looking out for public safety as its first priority just needs to take a glance at D&B to see that the CDC is actually looking out for its own bottom line, and that is of its corporate allies. Which brings us into our second piece of evidence that the CDC is corrupt and is a corrupt drug pandering sham. Many of the CDC's top health experts have ties to the pharmaceutical industry. An investigation by the of course, I mentioned the WHO, and there was the British, and then there's the World Health Organization, British Medical Journal, and the Bureau of Investigative Journalism found that key scientists who helped develop official swine flu policy for the World Health Organization, recommending that practically everyone be vaccinated, received cash payments from both Roche and GlaxoSmithKline, two pharmaceutical giants that manufacture swine flu vaccines. These two companies, as reported by The Guardian in 2010, paid off policymakers in multiple countries, including the U.S., at the CDC to write the WHO's guidelines for swine flu that pushed dangerous swine flu vaccines on millions of people globally. With the help of the CDC and other corrupt agencies, these pharmaceutical corporations pocketed billions of dollars. So this is what's made behind, SARS and MERS and swine flu, Ebola and Zika, the Zika virus. Remember that? I mean, they're saying that Zika was going to cause this microencephaly, and it was being spread by mosquitoes, particularly in Brazil. But worldwide, people became terrified of this thing. Now, Zika wasn't anything new. It's been known since the 1940s, but they said it was causing microencephaly. Now, in Brazil, there were 404 cases of microencephaly. Only 17 people were found to have the Zika virus who had bitten babies with microencephaly. So that disproves. That's so low that it actually disproves it. But that was silent. But they were telling people, women to have abortions. You had international agencies going out and having offshore abortions because it's illegal there. You had telling women not to have babies for five, seven years. Talk about a depopulation program. But it's nonsense. It's just been forgotten.
Yeah.
So why do you give these organizations, these alphabet super organizations, any credibility when it comes to something like this? Short attention span? I don't know.
Well, the population should basically revolt and try to change their political leaders, because obviously everyone is in collusion in some kind of secret society that we can't penetrate. I spent some time with the statistics of this worldwide pandemic. It's now officially a pandemic. WHO came out and said it's pandemic, and so. I wanted to just mention that in a number of countries, they have very interesting statistics. There's a whole bunch of these, Tim, but I'm just going to Guyana, Sudan, Jordan, Nepal, Bhutan, the Ivory Coast, Ethiopia, Gibraltar, Guatemala, Vatican City, Kenya. I won't go on. There's a whole bunch, believe me. Now, in these countries, they all have the exact same number of cases. Guess what that number is? One. It's
One?
one. One. Yes, one. Now, so in other words, they have some kind of statistical measuring going on in Guyana and Sudan that is able to determine one case. One case. Now, the statistics are fascinating because, like, I'm just going to give you Guyana and Sudan. In Guyana, they have new cases zero, but they have total cases one, and they have total deaths one.
Is that like in real estate where you sell a house for a dollar or something?
I think it is. But now, because they have total deaths of one and total cases of one, the active cases is now zero, of course, because he's dead. Now, in the Sudan, they had one case. He would then be the one new case. And they have total recovered one. So now they have active cases zero, which is the same statistics as in Nepal. But this is completely absurd, right? That there would be some kind of measurement system in place that would create the statistic of one in a country the size of Guyana, or Venezuela or Jordan or Bhutan, millions and millions of people. They're not really testing anything, and yet they have been able to be on the chart, you see, of the global pandemic because they have one case. And so this smells bad to me. This smells like, well, I don't quite buy that all of these countries actually did produce a single person. I can't imagine a system that could only, would actually be able to detect a single person inside of, such a population. So I would like to see the testing that was done, and this, but this really strikes me as is they're just they want to include all of the countries so they can call it a pandemic. But if you actually look at the data, you'll see even countries, the size of like Bulgaria, they've got 20 people, supposedly. They have no deaths. Actually, untrue. They have one death in Bulgaria, one death. But this is so minuscule that the idea that, but see what they've been able to do is with the by claiming, like one, like Guyana has a, it's, they can say it's everywhere. Look, it's everywhere.
Yes.
But what do they really have in the way of evidence? Well, they have one case, except he's gone now, he's dead. We don't have anybody else, but we did have the one. So trust us, it's everywhere.
So
Well,
this gives them the pretext to pay out those $437 billion pandemic bond, right? That was issued, but.
And so it's the people have talked for a long time about a financial reset. They say, well, there's too much debt. And a lot of these guys who talk about this stuff are not conspiracy theorists. They're just, basically kind of renegade economic people. And they're saying too much debt. You'll see there's going to be reset because this is historically, a kind of typical thing to do when you get the fiat currency that balloons up to too much debt. You just get rid of it. I mean, I've actually been in Mexico where on Friday, one peso could buy a beer, and on Monday, 10 pesos were needed, right? They just kind of a devaluation. So they've been talking about this happening to the United States dollar because the debt is too big. All right. Well, this, I think, is what's really happening. I think you're seeing a distraction from the process. So they're deliberately gutting the economy for a period of time.
And it's interesting to point out that the federal credit, the instruments by which create all this debt, has been hijacked for a looting of society for the past, 40, 50, 60 years.
And then the other artificial thing I wanted to note was the fact that the Saudis arbitrarily blew up OPEC and decided they would lower oil prices to $30 a barrel. Now this looks like, oh my gosh, this is a benefit, but it's another way to destroy the United States because our banks have so much derivative and other lending exposure into the fracking industry. That is all based on basically a $50 oil price. The idea that Saudi would just, this would be the moment in history when they would decide, we're suddenly deciding to leave OPEC and we're going to reduce oil prices by 40% overnight. I mean, in most cases, this would have led to a military response by the United States. It would have been that destructive, right? Something this destructive would have had really harsh response. But here there was nothing. Trump today in his little press conference, he's going, this is great. We can buy, we can fill up the oil reserve. He doesn't even mention the fact that this is going to be, the banks will now need another bailout because there are trillions of dollars of bonds that will not be able to be serviced because the fracking companies don't have any cash flow because oil suddenly lost 40% of its value. But this is not circumstance. These are all orchestrated events. It's like, okay, you know, you have the virus, suddenly you've got no, you know, professional sports, you've got no public school system, you've got no international travel. That now all of a sudden, by gosh, the whole banking industry is under threat because of this. Well, what is this actually doing? Where are we going with this? This leads to a situation where the thing that will fill all of these debt holes is basically invented money. And the Fed, if you'll notice, yesterday came up with $1.5 trillion, and they're not even bothering to call it some fancy name now. They're just absolutely referring to it now as QE. You know, they're saying, okay, we're going to basically, you know, buy bonds to, you know, keep interest rates low and support the banking system.
It's the same thing they did in 9/11.
It's exactly the same thing. Mm-hmm. And this is going to end up, I think, in a couple of weeks with more and more of this stuff, because believe me, the financial system is going to be like a black hole.
And you know, someone has shorted the market before this.
Oh God, these guys they just gutted.
You know, the
guys in 911.
Yeah, the put options, and I like to see some sort of forensic analysis of put options just before this.
I'm sure the smart guy, the inside tribe, just killed us. But you know, here's the thing. So we're watching now our economy basically vaporized. And what will be in its place will be, you know, kind of a non-electric, you know, hunting-gathering society.
Well, that's all made possible through financialization anyway. When you got the industrial, you know, manufacturing sector, when it's real, and you turn agriculture over to big agri and destroy, you know, local farming, you destroy all local agencies to cope with these things and even to resist some of these measures, because people no longer have any local agency anymore. The system is designed to be as fragile as it appears to be and as fake as it is. That's the problem. You know, a little, you know, 5,000 deaths from alleged, you know, novel virus or coronavirus can bring down the global economy. What does that tell you about the global economy?
Well, that's right. And like, yeah, 1 month ago, they were saying, you know, Trump was saying, this is the strongest economy in the world history. Stock market is the all-time high. You know, we're going to in the 24th century, you know, and kind of our global technologic economic domination. And now, you know, we have 5,000 deaths and the thing collapses into zero.
Well, if the Dow 30,000 is dependent upon inflated oil prices because it, you know, monetizes U.S. debt because of the petrodollar system, it increased narcotic sales and opioid sales, then it's not a growing economy because you're destroying this, you know, the underlying basis, which is the people that actually go to work every day and raise families and create the people, which is the ultimate resource in any society are the people, and they're destroying the people. And Wall Street and the bank system destroys the people.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it was well said, they basically have created this fragile system. It's very fragile economically, and it's very fragile in terms of the psychology and the moral character of the population.
Yes.
You've got the single mom with the baby daddy and the pornographic male.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and family production is just going basically to zero. And let's see. You'll see family production probably will go to zero in the months ahead, because who can start a family into this mess, right? Where you don't even have any kind of fantasy economics to plug into. You're going to, if the economy is vaporized to the extent that I think they're intending to do, you won't just have children coming back to live with people. You're going to have whole families reassembled inside whoever owns a house, because there just isn't going to be anywhere else for people to live. I mean, it's real. This is, you know, the virus, I think, is either a complete fraud or it's very weak. This is way over my pay grade, but just looking at the stats, I don't see this as a humanity killer. I think it's being used as to create panic and distract from the reset. And the reset is not, as people have been claiming, it's going to be a financial reset. We're going to go back to the gold standard. You know, everything will start up just fine. Well, no, this reset is going to be a reset of civilization, where you're going to have a kind of slave class established, which doesn't have access to electricity, capital, you know, education. I mean, and they will be basically dumbed down. This is what
Well,
this
you
is.
already have a slave class. You're just more comfortable, that's all.
Yeah.
They just don't know
It's going to be an
it.
uncomfortable though, because this
Yeah.
is what's coming now, is that the American public, sad to say, will be reaping what they have sown. But you know, I want to characterize that more carefully, because they've been led down this path. You know, it's been a very well organized plot against them, a conspiracy that has been generations in the creating. And so now the ethnicities and the families and the physical beings of the individuals have all been so debased that they can actually try to pull something like this off. And there isn't the resistance to it that obviously there would have been like 50 years ago. I hear people are just going into their houses. You know, that's what, you know, like I was looking at the place in New York, trying to see if there was any resistance. There wasn't any. People just did what they were told. And this was an upper middle class area. So we'll see how the next few months play out. But, you know, like I would just say, look, you know, this is a time for heroism. I mean, there's nothing really to lose. The attack will be more clear as we go forward in time, but I think the outline is pretty concrete even at this point. You can see this leads to the Georgia Guidestones. I mean, you know, I would just, you know, if you want to see what the plan is, I mean, there's a you just read the Guidestones. You know, it's carved in stone. You know, they want to get down to 500 million people. And they want to live in harmony with nature, which they, in order to do, you have to have this 500 million. Who knows who gets to pick that group? But they say, you know, do not be a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. So meaning, leave room for nature by getting off the planet. And so, you know, and that the Georgia Guidestones are not some kind of prank or stunt. I mean, you know, bear in mind they have, you know, ancient Babylonian and Egyptian hieroglyphs of saying these same words. You can't find people to do that kind of translating without just massive amounts of you know power into educational expertise and stuff like that. So this is a very serious kind of, you know, portraying of our future. Basically, it's you know, the Bill Gates approach, right? We're just going to reduce the darn useless eaters down to a very small number, and the rest of us oligarchs will be just fine after that. So this is, you know, this is what we're looking at right now. I'm afraid that, you know, because this could be incrementalism and it could be a decade-long process, it's hard to pin down, you know, in a way that people can realize just how dangerous and how malevolent what's going on is. I mean, you know, this virus could end, and the, you know, the economy could creep back to life, and 3 or 4 months from now, people could say, "Oh, Joe, you were wrong." Give it time. You know, they're very incremental, they're very patient. If we don't resist, if we don't organize and have some political creation of some political a power that can scrutinize and stand up to this kind of process, believe me, we're going to get there. We're going to get to 500 million people. And it's just like Carlin said, it's a big club and you aren't in it, you know. So if you're here, if you're listening to our show, you're not in it. And so this is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with a real existential threat.
Yeah, the idea of medical martial law, and is, you know, this is part of the scientific dictatorship, because again, we're under the rule of experts. It's above our pay grade to challenge them because they're dealing in science. But this in the United States, at least, there's the Model State Emergency Health Power Act, a piece of legislation that was drafted by the Center for Disease Control. Some people call it the Center for Disease Creation. The act grants the government the power to quarantine, force, vaccinate, and mobilize the military so it can help implement emergency procedures as deemed necessary to control an outbreak. It's designed to be forwarded in each state legislature so the states can harmonize their emergency pandemic plans, so much for federalism, essentially creating a federal system enabling medical martial law. The ACLU, according to the American Civil Liberties Union, the act lets the governor declare a state of emergency unilaterally and without judicial oversight, fails to provide modern due process procedures for quarantine and other emergency powers, it lacks adequate compensation for seizure of assets, and contains no checks on the power to order forced treatment and vaccination. Interesting enough, this last act has been the basis for 133 pieces of legislation in 33 states. So you have all these vague laws passed. There's the CDC's. I think their language of the act allows them to authorize the quarantine, isolation, or conditional release of an individual traveling interstate. CDC must reasonably believe that the individual is infected with communicable disease or in a qualifying stage, as defined by the statute. A qualifying stage means the communicable disease is in a pre-communicable stage. If the disease would likely to cause a public health emergency if transmitted to other individuals or a communicable stage. Now, that means they can arrest everybody, I guess.
Of course. How would you disprove it? I mean, this is the ham-handed side of what's going on, the scientific dictatorship stuff, kind of with that kind of legislation, which is already in place. I know that the Patriot Act also had some of this crap in it with, you know, in case there's a biological weapon, you know, then suddenly they suspend the Constitution, what's left of it. But this whole process is a suspension of the Constitution. Remember, we lost the ability to resist unreasonable search and seizure with 911, right? Because now suddenly when you're at the airport, they can search 100% of the population. Mm-hmm. Even though there is no reasonable reason to believe every single one of them has anything. And when you're searching everybody 100%, then by definition, it's unreasonable. And therefore, you know, it just makes a mockery of the Constitution. Well, now here goes the right of assembly, right? I mean, the right of assembly is gone here as well. Now it's the next phase of the Constitution destruction, because if they have some criteria by which they can go, well, yeah, we know about the Constitution, but we've got this little gizmo law over here, and you have to stay in your houses. And if you don't, you're going to get shot or arrested or both. You know, so the Constitution is being eroded, and it's being eroded in the minds of the population. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when any time you go to the slave training at the airport, it's the saddest thing, Tim. I'm sure you experience it all the time. It's the saddest thing to see the glazed eyes of the slaves being trained while they're going through these long lines waiting to be, you know, radiated. There's no resistance. You know, they've been slave trained, and now their minds just take them right into, you know, right into the labyrinth, and they just walk where they're told and do what they're told and end up, with the radiation. Well, this is the same thing now. It's going to happen with the sequestration.
Well, yeah, if you don't do it, the terrorist is going to get you. If you don't do this, the virus is going to get you.
Exactly. You know, the zombies. And that's that. The people who will be on the street, right? Think about it, like the slave training with the zombie movies. So if you're on the street during one of these lockdowns, what are you? Well, you're an infected person, i.e. a zombie. Mm-hmm. You're probably hungry. That's why you left your house. So therefore you're here to, you know, you have to worry about them eating cannibal.
Other than that, you're selling black, black market toilet paper.
Target toilet paper criminal. And so if the people in the residence come out and dish your brains out with an egg beater, they're just behaving normally. You know, they're just behaving in the context of all the movies, The Walking Dead, Z Nation, all of the ways that they desensitize us.
Oh, yes. I was reminded of the movie Contagion that came out about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And Matt Damon.
Morgan, what's that guy? Morgan Freeman, the black guy.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, that's right. It was Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah,
Lawrence
the major.
Fishburne. Molly Cotillard, I think. Richard, or is that her name? The pretty French actress. Kate Winslet, and also Jude Law was in it. Well-crafted movie. I saw it when it came out. But it was so, I mean, it was very, very slick form of propaganda, because what it does is, in this movie, is everyone at the CDC is smart, handsome, or pretty. They're dedicated. They even given their lives to save humanity, to bring, to, you know, find a cure for this dreaded virus that, you know, developed out of Asia somewhere, I think, at a restaurant. A bat flew over, a pig pen or
That's
something.
soup. Yeah.
But it's funny because Jude Law, who's ordinarily kind of plays a leading man, you know, he's considered probably an attractive male. He plays this internet guy who's trying to market, you know, alternative or natural remedies, and he's going after the CDC, and he's an anti-vaxxer. And ordinarily, Jude Law, you know, is kind of a leading man type person, but in this movie, they made him kind of a creep. They actually gave him like gross prosthetic fake teeth to make him look creepy. And they really grew after the internet on this thing. There's all types of lines about reading things on the internet, and oh, you read it on the internet, and all that stuff. Well, I understand there's trouble with it, things on information on the internet. I understand that sourcing and confirming a lot of bad information out there. Just, but believe me, is the CDC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, or any better? Give me a break. I mean,
Well, Project Mockingbird, I
yeah.
mean, it's just the P2 scandal. I mean, it's
Yeah.
just look, the alt media is not perfect, but it's all that is in terms of the possibility of getting any good data.
Yeah.
And what it means with all of the bad information that's out there and the disinfo agents that are creeping around all over the place, it just means that the people who listen to it, try to get real value out of it, just have to do more work.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's just this is the world we live in, but at least there is the opportunity to make a case and to let the listener
Well, here's
actually,
this. What they're trying
use
to.
their analytic powers and make a decision whether or not it's full of crap or not.
With these movies, they're trying to create a situation where the public no longer has any sympathy for free speech or criticism of people by people on the internet directing at, you know, the CDC or position or, you know, figures of authority. There was a GoFundMe has booted all vaccine skeptics from being able to raise funds on their platform.
Yeah.
Can't you be, therefore, if you're running a campaign to raise money to, you know, to fight a mandatory vaccines, or that are critical of vaccines, or critical of a vaccine, GoFundMe won't let you raise funds on their platform. Well, it's kind of funny because GoFundMe was acquired by an investor team led by Accel Partners from its original founders in 2015 for a cool $600 million, the same way that YouTube was converted by Google, a similar way. Basically, the you know, New World Order buys it out. Accel is a venture capital organization that heavily invested in pharmaceutical industry. That is heavily invested in the pharmaceutical industry. So information that is skeptical to vaccinations could hold back a multi-billion-dollar industry. So this is how they control information. This is how they control dissent. Everything's being centralized under this one corporate umbrella, and then they can crush you. And that's how, you know, what how you look at how the grand conspiracy is implemented, if you will, because
Yeah,
it's,
and you can
you know,
see it right in
yeah.
the Google algorithms, how they've transformed them into censorship systems now. But this just means that the people in the alt media have to work all the harder. You have to set up more and more websites. You have to set more and more ways of like communicating information among ourselves, because they're trying to be, they can see what was happening. They could see that this couldn't go on much longer. They were going to completely lose control. We were basically, if they hadn't done these things, I mean, who knows how long it would have been, but what, 5, 10 years before suddenly the government narrative 911 collapses. And now you're starting to have riots when presidents, speak nonsensically about their justification for the Middle East wars, right? Because the whole population now is not only aware, but they're angry. Now you're going to get real change. You're actually going to get some resistance because the public is actually has a clear mind about these things. So what do they do? Well, they try to shift gears of the system by which the information is getting to them and to try to control it. Okay, they can try it, but it's up to us to just hammer it, to just keep constantly coming up with more information, more chains of emails, more, trying to promote more basically more activity, more using of the information sources, and promoting more skeptical individuals. You know, don't sit there and just blindly listen to people like Alex Jones, for example, you know, because at the end of the day, you can't trust the information from anyone in the pixelated reality. What you can trust is your own process of data collection and analysis. And I mean, I keep harping on that, but Tim, I think that these talents and skills are going to be in real demand and need over the next 6 months, a year, because I wouldn't be surprised if one of the ways this op goes down is the virus doesn't go away. You know, it just doesn't go away. It just keeps lingering around. I mean, this is one of the ways they can play it out. And then what do? Well, you shut down travel. This will shut down the economy. This will, of course, void out the value of the dollar. There's no savings. And there we are, right? The Georgia Guidestones are looks like, gosh darn it, they're coming to pass, because there's a lot of starvation, you know? So to avoid this, we really need to have a push to expose the political class as lifetime actors, as members of a secret society, as not honestly representing what they are. And I mean, so, you know, I mean, what can I say? This is like a kind of line in the sand. If you just go into your home and wait, I just think you basically have signed your death warrant, because I don't think they're going to come to save you eventually. Maybe this time, maybe this is an incremental process, you know, like they've done in many, many things over in the past 100 years, but maybe not. Maybe this is the time they're going to do real major population reduction. You have to be prepared to deal with that. So we need to develop skepticism and the capacity to get information and share information and do it quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to ask yourself who benefits, you know. Before 9/11, there were a lot of people selling short on airline stock and other stocks, and that was an indication of foreknowledge. And you know, if you're an insider and you had knowledge of this coronavirus hyped outbreak, you knew it was about to start, and then you were in a position to make a whole lot of money. Just investigate that. So you did that. And the market's crashing. It gave back 2,000 points today, but you know it'd be a roller coaster ride. But something tells me, you know, this type of manipulation could be common. You crash the market and you come in and buy it up. Stocks cheap the next day. That's an old, you know, pump and dump thing. But you can manipulate the market with these events, and you if you have enough juice, as a few do, to create these events, you can do this. And how this is, like I said, how this is implemented, you had the market crash in 2020, the hysteria is created by the media, by the mass media, which is owned by five corporations, owns over 90% of the media. And of course, all these corporations are linked to Wall Street, the Federal Reserve, the CFR, and a dozen central banks that own the Fed. And of course, this is owned by a handful of families that control all the world's assets through these instruments. And this is how something like this is connected. This is how you have a financial, global financial coup. This is how you reset the economy. This is how you carry out a revolution. And you can do this the collapsing towers and the planes in the building were the diversion to the real event. Well, this virus is a diversion to the real event. The real event is the economic takedown or resetting. And when you hear about, the $5 trillion being needed to pump up the treasury market, or what's happening with oil, or, this is it's very similar to what happened in the wake of 9/11 or in 2008, when, 27 to $30 trillion were created.
Yeah.
Someone got that money and it reset the economy then and led to greater concentration. The same thing that happened in the Great Depression.
Well, we're in for tough times, because I think even if you had Tim and Joe take over the Federal Reserve, that's a terrifying thought. But what if you had really competent, sincere people? I don't think they could save the dollar or the economy, frankly. I think you're going to have a reset regardless, because there is too much debt. There is not enough economy. We outsource the most important jobs. And at the same time, the intellectual and moral character of our citizens has been basically evaporated, right? the single mom and the pornographic male are not really, as they consist today, going to be able to like do much, you know, other than be hunter-gatherers when you're in a post-electric situation. So there's really rough times coming. It's a good time to develop community. Everything that, you know, you want to do to protect yourself in this kind of environment is a good political indicator. I was thinking about that today, that you can really see in these moments the value of ethnicity, of extended family, of close friendships, you know, of family. You can see it now, can't you? Because the pornographic male, I mean, basically is going to be in pretty bad shape, won't he, when he's sitting there sequestered in his apartment and he can't go to the singles bar and the internet won't even give
him. Well, we talk about health and disease and these things. And as you tell people to stay inside and socially isolate themselves, and baseball seasons are canceled and kids aren't going out and taking part in outdoor events, they're not getting, you know, important vitamin D and other nutrients, you know, other vitamin hormones into their body, which is going to promote illness. And they'll blame the virus for that.
Well, and they can be depressed. There'll be depression. And yes. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The idea that this is this order is as absurd as the idea that going in lines and being radiated is somehow keeping you safer from the terrorist boogeyman.
But people bought that.
I know. I mean, it's just ludicrous.
I mean, the government was caught putting the underwear bomber on the plane. And
yeah,
you know, this was just when they were trying to sell those scanners, which is the company was Rapiscan or Rapiscan.
Yeah.
And Michael Chertoff and Associates, former head of Torn Home Security, and the guy actually aided in let the dancing Israelis out of the country. His firm was marketing them at the very time. Then he goes on Capitol Hill and pimps for them, and no one calls him out on it.
Yeah, and it's just sickening. And this is a cui bono moment where you can see who's really, or you know, pulling the strings. The kind of the tragicomic data that I saw yesterday and today was this, you know, of how the sequestering is going in Italy, because in Italy they actually have a model which we, you know, concerned Americans may want to look at carefully, right? Because you can see they've actually shut down large fractions of the whole country. Mm-hmm. And they had this one guy who was saying, well, it's not going well. My sister died last week and no one has even come to like get the body. I mean, I think this is kind of agitprop. It seemed artificial to me.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it's just as an illustration of what might be ahead. It's kind of, I think, you know, pretty much.
I said, you shut down an entire country or a region of a country based on a few thousand deaths globally. That's well within the variable. You know, it's.
Well, yeah. And of course, because compared that to the amount of deaths and suffering it caused by shutting the economy down, where is the data for that? You know, they have this fake data. I mean, like one case in Sudan, right? Oh, my God, it's a pandemic. Well, I know if you shut down Major League Baseball or March Madness, I know what that's going to do to the economy. It's going to gouge, you know, jobs by the tens of thousands will be just disappeared. What kind of suffering and death and mortality and stress comes out of that? Where's the data to support these kinds of draconian, absolutely draconian destruction of the economy? If you're going to do crap like that, then you should absolutely have data to say, look, this is critical for us to do this because this is how much we're going to lose by shutting down Major League Baseball. But look, it's a tough choice. But here's the other side. This is nonsense. They don't have any data to suggest what's going to happen when the economy shuts down. They have no idea. It's going to kill millions of people.
Now, why would you give an organization like WHO and CDC that type of discretionary power when their corruption is so established and proven? I mean, it's like, you really think these people are, you know, disinterested actors, angels, you know, acting on? No, it's provably corrupt. They have all types of conflict of interest connections to the very industries that are set to profit mightily from this crisis. You know, which is again, I state it's. I think it's largely just created. It's just, you know.
Did you see the press conference with Trump this afternoon?
I did not.
Well, It's on tape. I would hope you would get it because it'll give you a good laugh. It'll help you get through the rest of the day. It's the most hilarious thing I've seen in my life. He gets up there and he starts talking. Trump talks about how much money is being given away. And then he goes, but don't worry about the virus because we've got these great heroes. They're here with me. The president of Roche, he gets on and he says, oh, yeah, don't worry. We're going to save America with our vaccinations. But the most absurd one, well, then he brought on CVS and the guy was, but then he brought on the president of Walmart. And this guy goes, our parking lots are going to be available for testing. I thought Trump was going to like start trying to give a like a weekend special for condo sales. It was the most absurd kind of over the top commercialization of a crisis I'd ever seen. I mean, literally, it was if you had just taken that and run it on Saturday Night Live, it would have gotten more laughs than any other skit they've ever done. It was just preposterous, you know, that the response to this was to bring all of the people who are in the neocon industries who are like the health murderers of America, like Roche, the president of Roche. I mean, these guys all got up there and just said, we are completely dedicated to fixing the coronavirus. Well, our parking lots are going to be available.
The Trump administration's initial reaction was like, what's the big deal? When he said, I think he was talking to Dr. Fauci, and he asked him, you know, he told me that, you know, anywhere from 30,000 to 70,000 a year die in the United States alone from the flu. So how is this any different? And then he got criticized for that. But of course, his question wasn't answered. And then I think the Trump administration was given the agenda, because they're not under control here, of course, to do this. You know, so wait a second. You have to get on board and start promoting all the fear and the lockdown and these measures. Because you know the initial reaction was somewhat, somewhat honest. It's like I don't see. But
I just got to tell you. Okay, so do you know what this was all about? I mean, the whole thrust of it. Do you know what they were really rolling out? The big government. It was a brand new website that you could go on and give private information, and then they would like tell you where to go.
Oh, great!
Guess who was creating the website?
Was who?
Google. they had Google there going, don't worry, we are going to, and we won't be selling your information for much money, but we will need your website address and all the other information. And then so you go through this little flow chart to see if you need to have a test. And then if you need to have a test, they tell you where the Walmart is nearby. I mean, I didn't see this, but I kept waiting for it to go. And you will be given a coupon for $50 free shopping at Walmart.
Yeah.
While you're there for your test. I mean, it was just, I mean, I, you know, you just the fascism, the union of government and business was so transparent. And they were trying to sell themselves as like this, you know, sainted being. You know, they were talking about this incredible government business alliance, right? As though this whole collection of creeps wasn't one big secret society to start with, that they have created, you know, and they've got Google with the website and Walmart with the parking lot and Roche with the drugs and CDC, you know, with the vaccine. And they're all just rolled out there. But, you know, it was just this collection of basically people who have, I mean, look at the health of America. Right. And then just think about this. Think about Roche, you know, complicity in all of the destruction, mm-hmm. like the vaccine. Think of CVS, all of the flu shots and things. Think of Walmart selling, you know, taking in the SNAP cards to people and just giving them 100% diabetic diet. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, think about this. And yet this was our heroes that were now going to lead us into the brave new world. Well, I don't think so, Tim. I think what you saw was the face of like the new fascism has a smile on it, but it's still going to just be a slave state.
I said if our leaders, our elected representatives, had any concern about the overall health of the American people, they would be talking about radically altering the diet. And whatever is out there floating around in the ether is going to get you. If you're in better health, you're not going to get sick, or you'll recover from it. But no one's talking, about the diabetic, epidemic, heart disease, and these things, and what's really causing it. And they're, whether it's electromagnetic radiation or the diet. Like I said, I think it's a whole soup of toxins that we're inundated in, marinated in. And no one's talking. But this is the diseases of modern life that we call our conveniences. But at the very least, we should talk about it. And
Well, of
it's
course.
not being
I mean,
talked about.
you get into the data and you go, well, in Wuhan, just a month before, they had 10,000, according to the data I have, 10,000 5G antennas turned on. And a month later, you started seeing deterioration in lung capacity. Well, what is the relationship? Because a lot of people think that the 60 megahertz actually doesn't impact, like a cellular activity in the lung. Has anyone done any studies of that? You see, you can see the fascism, Tim, almost as clearly in something in the fact that there isn't any study being done, right, into like how 5G was affecting
That's right. That's right.
Wuhan, as you can in the Google algorithm. It's just about as clear. It's just about as clear
Yeah,
because.
the FCC said that 5G in the United States, no local authorities have the right to ban 5G in their towns or localities because it's a federal issue.
Well, thanks a lot. And
Yeah.
the thing is that
But
you.
they already sold the bandwidth, so I guess it's a foregone conclusion.
Right. I mean, and so it's as clear there in that they are not studying this and bringing it out and making full disclosure to the public about, well, could have been maybe this was actually part of what the whole toxic soup that led to all these ammonia cases. Maybe it's the virus plus all this stuff, like with HIV, right? Where, yeah, maybe the virus exists, maybe it doesn't, but there's also, amyl nitrate and 25 venereal diseases in the poor individual. No wonder his immune system is not so hot. So it here you get to see it. I think that's a really clear, image that since they aren't studying the 10,000. Now, incidentally, this is an enormous number. This was given to me by another, like a research person. I won't mention her name, but she said, look, there aren't even 10,000 5G towers in the entire United States, and for some reason they concentrated them here in the city, which we know why. What was in back of that? Why do they have 10,000 of these towers? Well, who knows? But we aren't getting any data, are we? We're not having the CDC sending, Dustin Hoffman and Morgan Freeman to like with hazmat suits on to rescue the, these poor guys. Instead, we get the idea that this little terrible virus that just popped out of nowhere—it was in a bat soup or in a boa constrictor or something, and it's bringing down the entire world. And so stay in your house.
Yeah, nature's doing it to you. It's not, these towers, because we have to be able to, download and watch movies, on our cell phones.
Yeah, we absolutely have to. But the genome, I think, is another like dead giveaway because, from what I can gather, this is absolutely without parallel in nature. So that means that this little virus is not really from bat soup or from a boa constrictor, but somebody made it. And so this is an operation of some kind because there should be, if this was, again, it's sort of like the 10,000 5G towers in Wuhan, if this was, and it certainly has to be some kind of like constructed, virus, where is the the science that is being brought to bear to find out where did it come from? Who made it? Why didn't Trump talk about this? Why didn't he go, hey, there's no way that this could have 33 A's at the end of this genome. That's completely artificial. This got to be an artificial thing. I've got my top guys on it. We'll have an answer for the American people in a week. We're going to find out who in hell made this thing, But that doesn't come around, So it's another example of like of the basically of the fascism and of the mind control where they're not they don't they steer us to the distraction so that we don't see the actual issue that is really at hand.
So, okay, Joe, we can
Hey
cover it.
Tim, well if I am able to make a killing in the toilet paper market. I may get a rocket ship. I may take one of the Elon Musk ship to Mars to wait this one out. But otherwise, I'll be back next week, brother.
Yeah, toilet paper and hand sanitizer.
That's me. I mean, I'm like, I'll be on the street selling all of my stuff.
So, okay.
All
Joe,
right.
take
See
it
you.
easy. Enjoy your weekend. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye.